As the center director, I also would like to express my sincere gratitude to Professor So Si Hok, who is unfortunately not being able to be here today due to personal circumstances, and also to our donor, Mr. Arvind Kattar, who has been providing donation to encourage the research activity at the center. And of course, welcome all the distinguished guests, speakers, and all the attendants who are here today. This Southeast Asia Forum has been running for some years now. This is, has become, as Minesh mentioned, an annual event. This year is particularly built around the main key research theme the center has been developing, that is urbanization, connectivity, and governance. And these three are the key themes which will structure the eventual discussions throughout the day, especially the panels and keynote speeches are structured around these three key themes. Southeast Asia is a very important region. We have many students, as Minesh referred to, and also Southeast Asia is the, one of the key empirical sites for the center and also for researchers at the LSE to theorize from. So various kind of issues that we come across, social, economic, and political, will be the basic recipes for many researchers to engage in order to address a bigger debate. In your conference folder, you'll find a schedule for the day, which, as you'll see, contains many talks by many distinguished speakers. Whenever there are breaks, our LSE stewards will be ushering you towards the end of the break to return to your seat. So please, for the sake of smooth running of the program, because of the packed schedule, we have exciting talks. Please do not feel too much offended when, you know, when stewards are gently pushing you towards your seat later today. You also find information about where the lunch can be taken. So those of you who are new to LSE area, the Aldwych and the Kingsway, there are a few places we have selected. We don't receive any sponsorship donation from these places, so no financial interest in those. Do make good use of the list as well as any other recommendations that may come from your colleagues who are here today. Throughout the day, you will notice that we have wonderful photographer who is taking pictures of us, speakers and attendants as you socialize and listen to talks. If any of you has any concern for appearing in the photograph that we'll be using for later reporting of the event, do please let Mr. Lee Major, our center manager, know about your concern and we'll take you out from the picture. We'll also be recording the entire talks by our audio recorder here in order for us to provide this as a podcast. So again, during the keynote speeches as well as panel discussions, there will be ample opportunities for you to engage with speakers through Q&As. If, again, by any chance you have any concern for having your identification recorded, do let us know again, so that we can take your name out from the recording when you later distribute the podcast for public access. If you do have any concern, I guess the best way is just to address you, refer to yourself, identify yourself by referring to a kind of general description that will be fine. In the unlikely event of a fire, we heard a very glimpse of the bell ringing earlier, but which was for testing, I would believe. Please do follow our stewards. The gathering point will be the So Si Hok Student Center. And finally, I'd like to also remind all speakers and those in the audience that LSE exists for the pursuit of learning. And this fundamental purpose can be achieved only if its members, visitors to it, can engage peacefully in conditions which permit freedom of thought and expression. So there will be plenty of opportunities for engagement through Q&As and debate during the keynote speeches and panel discussions, as well as our breaks for tea and coffee for you to socialize. And in all these instances, please do engage in a respectful manner, but also in a very lively way to engage in critical and an exciting debate between your service and between you and the speakers. The Twitter hashtag, yes, well, it's very important, self19, is the one. So if you are a Twitter savvy person, please do make good use of your Twitter account to tell us and also share the stories that come out from the forum today. I guess that's it. Having said all these, I also hope you enjoy the rest of the day. And I guess that's all from me. So, without further ado, let me also introduce our speaker for the opening keynote. So we do have, the big pleasure of having His Excellency Pisanu Swatnazata. My Thai pronunciation is in need of further improvement. Who has kindly agreed to come to visit LSE to give this opening keynote. His Excellency has a long history in long career and history in diplomacy. Before coming to the UK, Ambassador has used to serve in Cambodia, Australia, and China. And just before coming to the UK, he was ambassador of the United Kingdom of the Kingdom of Thailand to Myanmar. And well, I guess that's all from me, and I hope you enjoy the talk. And please join me in welcoming the ambassador.
Thank you very much, Professor Yun Bang Shins, for your kind introduction. Then Minush Shafiq, the director of the LSE, excellencies, my dear colleagues from ASEAN's missions, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen. First of all, I just would like to extend my sincere congratulations to the LSE for your new visions to shape the world by 2030. I do agree with what Dame Minoo Shafiq mentioned, that the output and the products of the LSE nowadays running many countries in Southeast Asia, including some of them are members of the cabinets in Thailand. So I do agree that if you can keep this momentum on in the years 2030s, LSE visions to shape the world would be able to realize. And as far as Thailand is concerned, I will render every possible support for this valuable mission. Ladies and gentlemen, when LSE invited me to be a keynote speaker and to propose a topic, I just wanted to focus on the issues important to Thailand's ASEAN chairmanship, which are partnership, sustainability, and the future of ASEAN. Together with our partners in ASEAN and external partners, Thailand and ASEAN will work toward the sustainable goals that leave no ones behind. This is the key message that Thailand, as the chairman of ASEAN, reiterate and keep it as the central focus of our chairmanship to move forward together without leaving anyone behind. So, what about the futures for Thailand? It will be one with more equal opportunities and quote-unquote sustainabilities of things. This would be somewhat extraordinary when people now today talking about quantum computers, Internet of Things, so on and so forth. But for us in ASEAN, particularly for Thailand, instead of talking about Internet of Things or Internet of Everything, We want rather to focus on sustainabilities of things and sustainabilities of everything. So it will be one with our countries working together to better fight against such challenges as climate change, marine debris in the ocean, cybersecurity, income disparities, digital divide, among many others that we are facing today. It will be also one where our aging societies can still contribute to national development and enjoy the quality of life. Where do we stand now? This is the question for ASEAN. The ASEAN regions, ladies and gentlemen, has a combined GDP at almost $2.7 trillion in the year 2017, four times the values in the years 2000. The GDP growth in the ASEAN regions has clocked an average rate of 5.3% since the years 2000. At this rate, ASEAN is set to be the world's fourth largest economy by the years 2030, where LSE wants to shape the world. Still, there are development gaps among member states, even though ASEAN still remains a relatively young workforce. The population in many ASEAN countries are aging fast. According to the United Nations Economic and Social Commissions for Asia and the Pacific, or the ASCAP, most of the elderly wants to, quote unquote, age in place, which means to have the abilities to live independently in their own homes, in comfort and safety, regardless of age, income, or ability level. Today's forums touch on three intertwined themes: the urbanization, connectivities, and governance. My questions for today would be, how can the United Kingdom and ASEAN work together as partners to find sustainable solutions and promote the quote-unquote sustainabilities of things in the age of technologies where there are still unsustainable behaviors and vast disparities among countries? And how can cities and network of cities support one another in their efforts to create and become a smart cities? What are the lessons learned by the panels that can be shared with ASEAN? These lessons will present opportunities for the United Kingdom businesses and organizations to work with each ASEAN member state individually and with ASEAN collectively as a region of over 650 million people and 1.7 million square miles, with one of the largest labor forces in the world. Ladies and gentlemen, last month, Mr. John Lamb, the UK ambassador to ASEAN, shared with the ASEAN London committees the four priorities that the United Kingdom can engage with ASEAN. First, on sustainability. Second, on the Industrial Revolution 4.0. Third, on education. And lastly, on the people's connectivity. This year, under our chairmanship of Thailand, ASEAN has achieved a number of key deliverables in many areas. Please allow me to highlight some of those as part of our efforts in this regard to be food for thought and get our discussion going, focusing on the priorities areas where we can work together and turning them into real actions. On sustainability, ASEAN leaders adopted the ASEAN Leaders Vision Statement on Partnership for Sustainability in June 2019. Also in the 35th ASEAN Summit, the ASEAN Centers for Sustainable Development Studies and Dialogue will be launched at Mahidol University in Thailand to serve as a platform for policy dialogue between ASEAN member states and between ASEAN and her external partners. It will also provide an institutional framework for ASEAN to implement the complementarity initiatives by promoting research and studies and enhance capacity buildings on sustainable development. As the UK will host the next UN Climate Change Summit in Glasgow in the year 2020, it would be fruitful for both sides to work closely together to achieve tangible results by engaging ASEAN and these centers in sharing experiences and lessons learned as countries may have felt and handles the impact of climate change differently. On Industrial Revolution 4.0, I had the opportunities to exchange views with the UK businesses on the topic of the futures of cities and how the UK businesses could be involved with the ASEAN Smart City Network, both in terms of technologies, enabling, and in terms of sustainability. One of our focus area and key deliverables of Thailand's ASEAN Chairmanship is to promote the network of smart cities where people can live better lives, not just in terms of infrastructures and facilities, but also in harmony with nature, with universal access of those less able, and offering more equal opportunities for people who may not live in prime areas. 26 ASEAN cities from the ASEAN Smart City Network are learning from each other and benefit from the networks to fund, implement, and operate projects so more people can benefit from our cities being more accessible and facilities more evenly distributed, technologically enabled, and in harmony with nature. I am glad to hear that the UK ambassador to ASEAN, John Lambs, that the UK's Global Future Cities programs will support inclusive and sustainable urban economic growth and increase global prosperity through targeted intervention on transportation, urban planning, and urban resilience in 6 ASEAN member states, namely Indonesia, Malaysia, Myanmar, the Philippines, Thailand, and Vietnam. As the UK is a global leader in the industries involved in the future cities, UK businesses could provide smart solutions to address challenges of rapid urbanization, promote enhanced connectivities, including digital connectivities, through the quote-unquote connecting the connectivities approach. On the connectivities approach, Thailand has already started the development of the Eastern Economic Corridors, or the EEC, which we plan to form the basis for the long-term development of a values and innovation-driven economies, which will connect with other regions and sub-regions and envisage in the ACMEX Master Plan and the ASEAN Master Plan on Connectivities 2025, and will link up with other frameworks such as BIMSTEC of South Asia and the Indo-Indian Ocean Rims Association, or IORA. As guest of the G20 Summit this year, Thailand has initiated the participation of G20 members in the ASEAN Smart Cities Network to support the ASEAN efforts in smart city development. At the G20 in Osaka in June, the Prime Minister of Thailand proposed and invited our partners to join us in the development of digital and green ASEAN, promotions of financial inclusion, marine environmental protections and management of marine debris, all of which are important issues for the futures of our cities. At the heart of it all is human capital development to ensure that smart cities are designed to be people-oriented and people-centered, leaving no one behind. With all these initiatives and the efforts that ASEAN has put into the quote-unquote sustainabilities of things, using the sustainable approach to national development through the ASEAN Smart City Network, among others projects, I am certain that we are on the right path forward, with the UK leading roles and potential contributions in relevant areas. ASEAN is certainly looking forward to the right with the UK along this path to prosperity. We can further explore this in a more detailed deliberations during the panel discussion. Distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, the third key priorities for the futures of UK engagement with ASEAN is education. Teacher training, especially online courses in all subjects, not just the English language, but in calculus, statistics, geography, physics, chemistry, biology, would be beneficial to the regions. In particular, Laos PDR has a number of English language teaching trainings and cooperation with the United Kingdom at present. And as Bangkok is home to the very active ASEAN University Network, or the AUN, and ASEAN, the Asian University Association, with 30 universities as members, Thailand and other universities' rectors and heads of international relations have been exchanging students, scholarships, expertise, best practices and lessons learned with our plus three partners, namely China, Japan, and Republic of Korea. The ASEAN University Network Secretariat is at Chulalongkorn University, right at the heart of Bangkok shopping centers. So please drop by Chulalongkorn University to greet the ASEAN University Network Secretariat teams on your next Bangkok visit. Ladies and gentlemen, Following the Thai Prime Minister's visit to the United Kingdom in June last year, Thailand has now recognized BTEC National Level 3 in 10 priority areas for country development and joined with Malaysia, Singapore, and Vietnam in enabling many to go further and higher up both the vocational and mainstream educational ladders. Many of the researchers from ASEAN member states have joined their UK counterparts in the pursuit of higher research goals under the Newton Fund programs from climate change to tropical diseases and the latest innovation in science and technologies. I hope to see the expansion of the Newton Fund and the fund's leadership in innovation fellowships being expanded beyond Thailand, Vietnam, Malaysia, Indonesia, and the Philippines, as the research outcome and the fellows' innovations have the potential to contribute to the social and economic development of the people in the regions and beyond. The United Kingdom can also contribute her expertise and exchange of personnel to the ASEAN Training Centers for Social Works and Social Welfare to develop and provide training courses and curriculums on social work and social welfare for technical and professional skills for the development of social works and social welfare in ASEAN. To provide technical and professional skills, knowledge of social works and social welfare to promote and develop quality of trainings and skill development and to enhance collaborations among relevant stakeholders in social work in social welfare trainings amongst ASEAN member states. Last but not the least, ladies and gentlemen, let me touch on the people's to people's connectivities, as I believe that peoples are at the heart of close and cordial relations among countries. Around 1 million UK visitors visit Thailand each year, and many have chosen Thailand as the retire home. Thailand has become a retirement destination in Asia and is serving as a regional medical hub with medical tourism, particularly popular among European, Americans, and the Middle Easterners. Improvement of social work and social welfare will enable the Thai workforce to be better equipped to facilitate the elderly residents and visitors. The UK expertise will also be beneficial to the ASEAN Center for Active Aging and Innovation, or the ACAI, whose missions are to serve as a knowledge centers on active aging and innovation, support evidence-informed policy, strategies and guidelines on active aging, conduct capacity development programs, as well as support the monitoring of progress and active aging in ASEAN. Considering that thousands of British pensioners spend their retirement in Thailand alone, and more in other ASEAN member states, this is one of the areas of cooperation that is worth investing for the United Kingdom, as it will also contribute to the active aging of British nationals living in ASEAN regions. And so, I hope that Thailand will not only be your holiday destination, but also your future retirement destination. The people-to-people links also extends to people-to-people assistance at times of need. In facing climate change and disasters together, ASEAN has set up the disasters emergency logistics systems for ASEAN. We established a satellite warehouse in Thailand, and the satellite warehouse will work under the umbrellas of the ASEAN Humanitarian Assistance Centers in Jakarta, and with the right support, it will become a training center to enhance logistic response capabilities of ASEAN officials involved. The network disaster emergency logistics system for ASEAN in Thailand, Malaysia, and Indonesia is ready to deploy diesel generators, indoor and outdoor lighting systems, sales with pasteurization units, temporary shelters, offices, bunk beds, personal hygiene, and even kitchen utensils to the areas affected under the themes, quote unquote, One ASEAN, One Response themes. The United Kingdom and Thailand can exchange personnel and lessons learned in handling changing weather patterns and in disasters mitigation. Ladies and gentlemen, with this year designated as the ASEAN Cultural Years, the ASEAN Cultural Centers in Bangkok has assumed a more regional role to promote enhanced cultural understanding within ASEAN and beyond. The interactive centers give the general public free access to learn about many aspects of ASEAN and is well worth visiting on your next visit to Bangkok likewise. As ASEAN approached the 53rd year, the 7 ASEAN centers that have been set up would help the formulations of evidence-informed policy strategies and guidelines in addressing the future challenges facing ASEAN over the next 50 years. In the light of disruptive changes taking place across ASEAN's 3 pillars, political, securities, economics, and socio-cultural. As some of you might breathe a sigh of relief being 1 month ago, Thailand and ASEAN are also approaching the last and final exams of the year. The 35th ASEAN Summit and related summit in Bangkok, starting from tomorrow until the 4th of November, as chair of ASEAN, Thailand has invited the United Kingdom's prime ministers to attend the ASEAN leaders as guests of the chair to give him the opportunities for keynote speakers. However, situation in the UK would not permit him to travel. But we still have some support and cooperation from the United Kingdom. We still have the presence of the UK ASEAN Business Council to take part in the ASEAN Business and Investment Summit in Bangkok. We still have the presence of Duke of York, who will bring his pitch in the palace to showcase in Bangkok. That would be some things, which is friendships, cooperations from the United Kingdoms during the ASEAN Summit. We hope after the dust of Brexit settled down, Thailand and every ASEAN countries would be able to resume active engagement with the United Kingdoms for our own future. Let me touch up on last year's as ASEAN Summit in Singapore. Vice Presidents of the U.S. announced the U.S.-ASEAN Smart Cities Partnerships that he said will spur renewed American investment in the region's digital infrastructures. And in years 2017, Dubai launched Dubai Now, a smart city app where citizens can pay for taxi, electricity bills, renew trade license, register car, and others. This is the question. Should ASEAN be heading the same way? And in which areas can ASEAN and the United Kingdoms can work together to support our efforts in promoting the ASEAN Smart City Network and enhancing complementarities between the ASEAN Community Vision 2025 and the UN 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. Before I conclude, I would like to reiterate that the human side of our cooperation is no less important than the technological side. Behind the quote-unquote sustainabilities of things and the Internet of Things are real people who create, innovate, manage, and operate to make sure that everything is functioning smoothly, taking into account different needs of real people. I would like to call this humanity of things, and ASEAN is ready to work more closely with the United Kingdoms on the human side to realize the people's to people's connectivities. Those are things that I would like to share as a food for thought for further panel discussions afterward. So I wish that you will have many fruitful deliberations in all the panels today. Our ASEAN embassies are ready to link the UK with relevant agency centers in their respective countries to take forward those ideas. I thank very much for the invitations for me to speak before you, and I'm looking forward to come back to Shaw Library once again, but probably next time for a concert. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Ambassador. Ambassador may have to leave soon after the keynote session because of his other commitment, but he has also kindly agreed to spend a little longer to spend time for Q&As. So please do raise your hands. There will be roving mics going around for you to use. When you ask questions, yes, bear in mind what I said earlier, but if you are happy to be identified, please do let us know who you are so that we know who you are. So please, any questions from the audience? Well, one of the questions while you think about some further questions. I guess one thing I can perhaps, I am curious to hear from Your Excellency, is the question of solutions. So you're discussing in your keynote, when discussing the global cities, UK's global cities kind of initiative, and discussing how the UK, and I guess here by extension the Western countries, are open, kind of seem to be the solution provider. And I think this is quite kind of a prevailing kind of notion in international development, where the Western economies, like those in Europe and in North America, are seen to be coming to the developing world as solution providers for various urban issues, urban problems in the environment, and so on. And I think there's a kind of a growing discussion in the academia and also in the practitioner world that this may not be very much the most appropriate way of thinking about development and also mutual cooperation and so on. So in that respect, I wonder, in your view, whether how much the practices and experiences of ASEAN countries and also including Thailand, how much these experiences and practices will be providing kind of solutions or something to learn from for the world and for the betterment of the global future.
Thank you. Well, first of all, let me just bring you to the scenarios that why we look at the UK as one of the models for ASEAN. Well, since I assume my duty here, I found that probably is the best practice in the United Kingdom is probably something that ASEAN can learn from. It's small but beautiful, not too complicated, employing less people, effectiveness, cost effectiveness, and others. That is one thing that I think the British best practice models is some things would be applicable to Thailand. Secondly, is when we talk about the Western models, there are different kind of models. If you go back and to see something that happens in Thailand in terms of academic exercise, every political theories, economic theories has been implemented everywhere successfully, but it would be a failure in Thailand because we are a unique system. And of course, some of member states of ASEAN, we are similar in that sense. We have our own uniqueness. We have diversities, but we have unities among ASEAN. So this is something that I think that why the British models is probably effectively applicable to ASEAN development. ASEAN itself has their own ways to pick and choose what suitable for them and learn from mistake. If we talk about ASEAN, our forefathers who established this association learned so much from European integration. But you can also see that we also learned the mistake of European Economic Councils, which is now the EU. We opted to be a loosely structured organization rather than rigid structures as the EU. And it is proven that our choice is successful. We survive. We sailed through the past 50 years. We prepared to move on. We opted not to have a single currency. We opted not to have a single time zone. This is the fashion of ASEAN. So I think what is the best practice of everywhere in this world, particularly in the UK, is something that ASEAN can learn and to adapt to their own qualification and requirement. One thing that I think we can learn from is mostly on social aspect of everything. We talked about the smart cities, and we are looking for a city, something like Manchester, Sheffield, and others, where people can live in harmony between one side, digital development, and on human side, livelihood of humankind, living with nature and in the perfect equilibrium. So we're looking at something just like that, and we want to learn from the United Kingdom.
Any questions from the audience?
Yes.
Okay, we have one in the fourth row.
Mr. Ambassador, I'm Zani, originally from Burma. You talked about leaving no one behind and the ASEAN way for sustainable lives. I find it quite disturbing, primarily because that rings to me as a member of Southeast Asian community, from the grassroots communities, quite hollow when you juxtapose what ASEAN has been doing in the last 50 years. ASEAN failed, in the original ASEAN failed in the face of Cambodian genocide, wherein one third of the population perished. ASEAN continued to fail today in the face of what the United Nations fact-finding mission call recurring and ongoing genocide right across the border from you. I mean, 740,000 Rohingyas fled in a span of several months. This is the first modern genocide in the 21st century that we watched on Twitter feed and Facebook.
Can I ask you to ask a question, actually, given the time?
I'm taking issue with the official state narrative of how ASEAN is looking after its 600 million people in the face of very ugly and verifiable realities. How do you respond to it?
Okay,
next
that's
week,
the question.
You're going to have an East Asia summit, and you erase the entire Rohingya genocide and crisis from the draft communique that has been published by Hugo. Yes.
Okay, I think this is one of the topics. This forum will also be discussing in the afternoon the panel discussion on the electoral politics from grassroots perspective. So there will be more occasions just for because the ambassador has the time limitation. There will be occasions where we discuss these issues and.
Well, I thank you these questions, you know, and I think this is something that I'm expected that it would happen in this kind of academic freedoms in the LSE, and I welcome this, you know. Well, but I beg to disagree one thing when you talk about the failures of ASEAN in genocide in Cambodia in the past. Because I don't think that it is a failure, you know. Because if it is a failure, nowadays Cambodia is not active members of the ASEAN. But because nowadays we're trying to resolve everything, mistake in the past has been resolved, and then we render something else to integrate our friends into regional integration. And because nowadays Cambodia is one of the most active members of ASEAN. If you go there in Phnom Penh or any other cities in Cambodia, you will see that it is a sort of a shared prosperity. Once in Cambodia was integrated into ASEAN, it's opened the countries, there's opportunities. For the time being, they developed so fast as opposed to in the past 20 years. And that's because of the vision of ASEAN to create a sense of communities and to build the regions together. If you go to see the sentiment of the people in Cambodia about ASEAN, I think majority of them would be positive about ASEAN. They prepare, all the ASEAN members, I think all of us prepare to leave the bitterness, feelings, and others behind, and we look for the future. And you have mentioned also the point of ethnics, the questions, and communal conflicts in Myanmar. That is the other things. When you look into those the mischievous people, of course, this is the point that ASEAN wants to work collectively to resolve the issues. We do not ever ignore the issues, but how we render our hands, how we join hands to work in resolving the issues. This is something that I think you should also give the focus on it. We have governments relations. We work in the working groups. We work with the governments of Myanmar. We're trying to show that this is, if we really want to resolve these issues, it requires international effort. It's not any particular countries who can handle this. Because I think we have to understand well the crux of the problems that existing, and if we really accept the truth, that it is far more complicated than what we thought. It is the legacies of colonialism. There's many parties concerned, not just only that groups and the governments of Myanmar. There are other countries which comes to get involved. There are different dimensions, including human trafficking and other illegal activities coming into place with the issues. So this is something that we have to put every jigsaw into the pictures, and then we would be able to manage the result. We want all existing issues in our regions to resolve peacefully, because we don't want to leave anyone behind. But give us some time to work. We just, if I ask the Rohingya problems, how long it's coming into the international agenda, it's just recently. Just after the Myanmar's government opened their country, and this just becomes the international agenda. But rest assured that all of us is working toward it. We still adhere to the themes, leave no one behind, and no one would be left behind.
Right. Before we go, one last question that, if I may, as the chair of the event, just going in relation to what you are raising, the prosperity and cooperation, and you refer to, for the right reason, a lot to the UK experience. Going back to the Asian region again, so one interesting study that I can share with you is about how condensed the experience of development has been in Asia. Because I asked this question because you are also stationed in China as well. So one of the studies talks about how countries like China, South Korea, Taiwan, Hong Kong, and Singapore have only spent just about 25 years to realize this fivefold increase in real GDP per capita from the year of their economic takeoff, which the economic takeoff having taken place around the time of late 1960s or early 70s, depending on which country you're looking at, and China, in the case of China, 80s. Whereas the UK has taken, the same study reveals that in the history, UK has spent 160 years to go through the same rate of development, a fivefold increase in real GDP per capita from the economic takeoff. So if you kind of compare 160 years in the UK and 25 years in East Asia, I wonder whether there are more things. I'm just kind of asking, advocate in a sense. I wonder whether there are more things to learn from Asia than from the UK.
Well, I think your
comparison is very interesting, you know. But one thing that we have to accept is that in the past 30 years, one great thing is the digital revolution. And because probably it's because of that that makes the pace and speed of development in East Asia are far greater than the cost that the United Kingdom takes in their development cost. But what I also think that we should look into is that in Asia, while we develop further, one thing that we can keep is the spirits of respective state, the cultures, identities of everyone that we can maintain. In ASEAN, we're still speaking, all of us, that ASEAN is diversities, unity in diversities, which simply means that among the difference that we have in terms of identities, way of thinking and others, we are united in some ways, particularly the philosophies and our determinations to move forward. I think this is probably something the Asian values that probably we can share with the West. China, for instance, when we talk about their growth in the past, I know that one thing that they are trying very much to avoid is to be identified by other peoples as the hegemonism. One case in point that is very interesting to me, and I hope that I am allowed to speak in terms of academic exercise over here, is the case of high-speed train in Malaysia. When Dr. Mahathir came to power, you may recall that the first things first that he has mentioned is that he wants to quit the high-speed trains projects between Malaysia and China in Malaysia. That is one thing. And then after the news was spread, everything was quiet. But in between that process, there was a talk, movement, negotiations between Malaysia and China. And then finally, the projects move on. Lower costs, better conditions for Malaysia, happiness for China. So this is something that I think it happens only in Asia. There is always a way, because all those Asian people are not good at the debate, but we are not bad in having a dialogue.
Thank you very much. Well, that has been very insightful session, and we benefited very heavily from Ambassador's and a contribution to the debate and his overview. So, thank you very much. And can I kindly invite everyone in the room to thank our Ambassador for the wonderful talk.